Welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth.
And I'm Kathleen McCoy.
You forgot your line. We are talking about radio today because one of the most important people in the Alaska Public Media family, Beatty Trentina, is retiring. You've already missed her voice perhaps a little bit in the morning. She's been here for 39 years. And Beatty is an institution in Anchorage, and we're so excited to have this hour to talk to her about her time here and all that she's contributed.
So, Beatty, the station is 40 years old, and you were here for 39 of those years.
Yes.
What brought you in the door?
You know, my friend Corky Merkel, who was one of the original staff members here, and she and I became friends, and we were talking, and she said, you know, if you're interested in radio, I work at a radio station. Why don't you come and hang out? We need volunteers, and you can see how it works. And that was Easter Sunday of 1979. And it was a Sunday, of course, and noon to 8 was her shift. And Martin Bookspan with the New York Philharmonic, I think he was part of the programming. We were rolling tape. As soon as I walked into the control room in Grant Hall, I thought, this is the most extraordinary experience I have ever had. And I thought, I'm going to be here for a long time. I just know it.
And I think what's really comes through from your voice is you're still excited about radio, aren't you?
I am. As a matter of fact, coming over here, I heard the promo for this afternoon's program, and I thought, oh, I'm going to be on the radio.
Yes, indeed.
This is fun.
We're going to have Beatty on for the full hour, and in the second half, we're also going to have Shelley Wozniak, who's taking Beatty's place as a program director here at KSKA, Alaska Public Media's FM station. And we'd love to hear from you. I know there are a lot of people out there who have very warm feelings about Beatty's voice, even if you haven't met her personally. And you can get on the show with us at 550-8433. If you're outside Anchorage, it's 888-353-5752. And the email address is hometownalaskapublic.org. And Kathleen and I are co-hosting today's show because it's just so important to us to say goodbye to Beatty and respect what she has contributed. And our producer, Dave Waldron, has also put in some extra work because he went out and found some old clips.
Uh-oh.
With some old stuff that kind of shows you just how different our station is compared to what it was, say, in the 1980s. And so here's one that we want to play of Beatty on the morning concert circa about 30 years ago.
It's 25 minutes past 8 o'clock. You're listening to the morning concert on KSKA, Anchorage Public Radio. 4 hours of classical music, Monday through Friday, beginning at 8 o'clock. More to come, or still to come, on this morning's concert, work by Manuel de Falla, also Joseph Haydn, and Luciano Pavarotti singing some of his favorite songs. Also at 10 o'clock, the Netherlands Concert Hall will continue the morning concert.
I love your high voice.
I didn't sound too bad.
You sounded like you knew what you're talking about.
I did.
And I remember when I came to work here that time, before you could get the job, you had to take a test, a pronouncing test.
Oh, yeah.
Where it was a list of the names of classical music performers and,
right,
and composers. And you had to read through that list and pronounce them correctly or you wouldn't get the job.
Yeah.
A high bar.
And I remember, I will never forget that I said, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
And you almost didn't get the
and
job.
I almost did. Unfortunately, the program director at the time, Barbara Hare, said, you're just joking, aren't you, Charles?
Oh,
of
my
course.
Goodness yeah. sake. Oh,
so,
that's...
So the station has changed a lot, hasn't it?
It has changed a lot. And we had a strong presence of classical music when the station first signed on the air in 1978. And it was primarily, it was a patchwork quilt. We had classical music, we had news. A lot of the news that we have on now wasn't even available back then. Morning Edition wasn't available. I don't know if Fresh Air was, certainly the Weekend Edition programs. And classical music was a mainstay, along with our national news, and then also a lot of volunteer-produced programs as well.
Mm. So, Beatty, when I was kind of scurrying around and looking at some of the background here at KSK, I came upon various people, for example, Shanti Elder, who's been volunteering
yes.
since even before you, I guess, a year before you, Shanti Elder?
No, actually, Jim Tai, who
okay.
is the program director who was on the air when I got here, He said, I have a couple of musicians coming in from the Valley. Will you teach them how to do radio? And Shanti Elder and Jim Hack were the two people from the Valley who came in, and that would have been probably in the summer of 79. So I had already been at the station and maybe vacation relief or something like that, but I had had some experience with the board and with programming and things of that sort. And so Shanti is the longest running volunteer since 1979, and she does an extraordinary job.
Traveling music, right?
Traveling music.
Yeah.
And then there was acousticity before that.
Oh, that's right.
And then I don't remember what the first one was, but there was a lot of live performance music that she did with her band. And
just coming into the studio and playing?
I think so. I think so.
Fun.
Yeah,
fun.
But she's been around for
a long
time.
There was a lot
time.
Of that in those days. Yeah, there was a noon show where we almost... We very frequently had live musicians. And
acoustic coffee break.
Acoustic coffee break.
Oh,
and there
fun.
Was tons of volunteer shows all the mm-hmm. time. It was mm-hmm. sort of a volunteer community station in those days.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's another evolution. Hey, let's go to Natasha, who's calling with something to say to Beattie. Natasha?
Hi. I just wanted to say I'm really going to miss you as a morning companion on my drive to work. And I'm especially going to miss your Yippee, it's Friday.
Oh, Natasha, thank you so much. Where do you, are you in Anchorage or do you commute from the Valley?
I'm in Anchorage, yeah.
Uh-huh. Thank you so much. That's really great.
How long have you been listening?
My entire life.
Oh. Well, I agree with you about Yippee, it's Friday, because I remember smiling every time I heard that on my way to work on Friday. It's like, yeah, we're in the home stretch now. We're going to make it. And I just loved hearing you say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, tell us a story about where that came from.
Well, Charles, you figured in with this, because when I was first hired as the Morning Edition host, which was September 29 of 1980, and Jim Tye, the program director, said, we have a new program that we're going to put on in the morning. Would you like to host? It'll be a full-time position. And I said, oh, yes, I would love to. I wanted to do anything. And he said, the only hitch is you're going to be signing on 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. Said, it doesn't matter. I will be here exactly where you need me to be. Well, after a while, you know, getting up at that hour.
Which
was what hour?
Yeah. I would usually get up around 4 to be here at 5 because we signed on at 6. And so, you know, a few months went by and I thought this is still a great job, but boy, that sixth day is really kind of putting a little bit of the push on. And then, Charles, you were hired to be the morning sign-on for Saturday and Sunday.
Just for Saturday.
Was it just for Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it was on that first Friday that I realized, oh, I don't have to sign on tomorrow because Charles is going to be here. Yippee, it's Friday.
It just came out.
It just came out. And I heard from, I don't know, half a dozen other people who said, boy, I was listening and I felt just like that. I hope you keep that. And I thought, okay, I will do that. So that's how that started.
Yeah.
Thanks to you.
That's a great story.
And that dedication of getting up so early for so many years is just something extraordinary. I only did it for a year, and I would get up at 5:55 to be on the air at 6.
So. A little breathless as you signed
up. Yeah.
A little breathless.
Hopefully I would make it in on time.
Oh, my.
So tell us what your daily schedule has been like all of these years, because you've worked here a lot of hours every day,
mm-hmm.
and you have to get up very early and you have to go to bed very early.
Well, in 1989, I became program director. So that really changed an awful lot as far as the amount of work and responsibility and time that I needed to put in. I knew I needed to be here at a particular time to do Morning Edition, which is 4:30. And the day ends when the responsibilities are completed or when the tasks are done. And so sometimes I was here late into the afternoon because that's what it took. One thing that I think stuck with me from the very beginning when I first walked into the station was a sense of responsibility to be on the air. And I thought, I can't take that lightly. I don't want to assume that I know more than I do. And so it's always been a learning experience for me. And thank goodness I have worked with some really talented, generous people that I can go into, like I've worn a pathway to Lori Townsend's office and say, Lori, I want to run something by you. Will you give me some counsel? Or, you know, working with Connie Huff and with Dave Waldron and with both of you and Ron Zastro, I can say, help me understand this. What are the repercussions of this? Let's make a plan. Or what do you think? And so that affects the amount of time that I have put in. It really is an enormous responsibility that I don't take lightly, and I don't walk away thinking, oh, somebody will take care of it.
Yeah. Good reason to retire so you can relax a little bit, not
you know
think
what?
About it every minute, it, right?
It's a good time. It yeah. really is a good time to, I've accomplished what I hoped to accomplish to bring the station to where it is today, but it's a great time to pass that on to the next generation, which is Shelley Wozniak
yeah.
and our talented FM people.
And she'll be here in the second half, and I want to give it over to Kathleen to ask some more questions. But first, I want to play another clip of Beattie.
this is fun.
This one is from 1985, and it's a day she's doing a weather forecast. And so we get to hear what Beattie sounded like over 30 years ago. And then when I come back, I'll give out those phone numbers again for those of you who want to ask Beattie a question or just say goodbye. So let's hear Beattie 1985 doing the weather.
The weather forecast for Anchorage, Palmer, and the Matanuska Valley looks like snow showers are likely sometime today, even though it looks pretty clear to me. Highs are going to be about 22 degrees today. It'll be mostly cloudy by this evening with more chances of snow and the low near 10 degrees. The high tomorrow near 20 under partly sunny skies.
Oh, and we'll give those phone numbers. It's 550-8433. To get on the air with Beattie Trentina and my co-host Kathleen McCoy.
So Beattie, I think that could be the weather today.
Yeah.
It could be the weather today. Looks pretty clear to me, but you know,
it was on the drive over. But listen, how did you get the weather back then and how did we get the weather today? I'm sure it's quite a bit different.
Well, it is back then. Charles, you're going to remember this, I'm sure, in Grant Hall and even in the Atwood Center. We had an AP machine. And it was a constant roll of paper that
was made a lot of noise.
Clickety, clickety, clickety.
Exactly. Yeah. There were the three bells when there was a breaking story. There were five bells when it was really breaking. And then 10 bells was, I think, like an EAS or an EBS test or something like that. So we used to, it was right outside of the control room. And every time we would go into the control room, we would clear the wire and look for the most frequent or the most current weather forecast. And it was a matter of, we didn't have computers back then. So it was all the rip and read. And I'm not too sure, was that over a phone line that information
might
came
have been.
Over?
Yeah. 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 You sounded a little skeptical, so maybe there was reason to be skeptical of the information. I know we like to say that about the weather all the time, right?
Yeah.
They're wrong most of the time. But
well, you know, truth be told, that there was, I'm sure, more than once, but I probably sometimes pulled the wrong weather forecast and then read it and then realized, oh, geez, that was from Juneau. And then thought, okay, the next break I'll have to say, okay, there's been an update in the weather forecast.
It's not raining.
Now I've
it's
got
sunny
the,
now.
The real one.
And you have to really hope that you remember to change the carbon ribbon in the
yes.
machine, because otherwise the paper would come out blank and you would have no weather report.
Exactly.
To make
That's
it up.
Exactly
so,
right.
So funny to think about how technology has changed and
I know.
The need for people even to be in the control room has changed. In those days you had tape and you had carts and you had records.
Editing
process. Stuff is gone.
Yeah. That's right. And you would turn off the transmitter at midnight and you'd turn it back on at 6. So you were dark mm-hmm. for, you know, 6 hours.
Because there had to be a person here running it.
There had to be a person here. We were 24-hour staffed, but we were staffed during the time that we were running tapes. Mm-hmm. And we relied so much on a great crew of volunteers that oftentimes that's what they did. They would come in and wouldn't really say anything except maybe an ID at the top of the hour, maybe a weather.
Yep,
but
I
they
did
would
that.
Change tapes.
You just,
from,
sit there. Yep.
That's what I did too when I first volunteered.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. John is with us calling from Wasilla. John?
Hi, Beattie. This is John Harris. I used to sub for you.
Oh, John Harris, for crying out loud. Yeah.
Well, you know, of all the wonderful things people say about you today, I just wanted everyone to know what a great boss you were when I'd come in there and work. And when you might go out of town to visit your dad or whatever it might be. But I really did enjoy those times there at Grand Hall. And you mentioned the tapes and everything.
Yeah.
How we had the reel-to-reel tape, and you have to find the correct, Alaska broadcast to play on there. I'd mess it up sometimes, but you were always such a great boss. I really enjoyed that.
Thank you for that. That's very sweet. Boy, oh boy, we go back a long ways.
Kind words, very kind words.
And it wasn't always smooth sailing. I remember one morning I described road conditions. You were just talking about the weather there, but I think I said something like roads were slicker than snot, and might have gotten some calls on that. And so later on, there was the call up to the office there. I don't know if it was Susan Satin or if it was you that reminded me that we didn't use such colloquial terms. We would be more professional.
But anyway,
I'll let some other folks get in there. I just wanted to say howdy and thanks again for all those years there.
Thank you, John. No,
thanks, John. And if you want to get on the air to share memories with BD or my co-host Kathleen McCoy or myself, Charles Wolforth, the number here is 550-8433, 550-8433, outside Anchorage, 888-353-5752, and the email address is hometownalaskapublic.org.
So, BD, and Charles, too, actually, you guys referred to an early environment here that was very volunteer-oriented. Mm-hmm. And I guess I like hearing about that. And we still have lots of volunteers today, even though they're not signing on at the top of the hour and changing the mm-hmm. tape. But they're doing shows. I looked at Dave Larka. Laura?
Oh, Dave Loretta.
Okay. Yeah. Algo Nueva. He tells a story of calling the station to say, where's the Latin programming? And he ended up hosting a show thanks to BD Trantina. So you talk about other people mentoring you, but you've mentored a lot of people too.
Well, that's very kind. That's very kind. We have had a lot of wonderful producers and had a great presence for a number of years with some Latin shows, Latino shows. And then those volunteers retired. And Dave said he has background in being on stage and a musician and everything. And he said, so would you like to listen to a audition tape? I said, sure. So that was it. And he has been on the air. I think he celebrated 10 years.
I think so. Something like 2007 or something like that. Yeah, he's been doing it a long time.
Yeah.
Well, we have another caller. Rich is calling from Anchorage. Rich, do you have something for BD?
Yeah, hi, BD. Rich Dyson calling. I just wanted to wish you well and wish you well in your retirement. I hope you've got some great things planned.
I do.
For your retirement. You deserve some great rest since getting up so early in the morning. But also wanted to say you are a great coach, great mentor, and I learned a lot from you about radio.
Well, thank you so much. It was great working with you and you being an early riser. And you said, I'd like to learn how to do Morning Edition. Can I volunteer and help out? And I said, sure. So it was great to have you on the air, and the audience loved you. And it's great to have that kind of encouragement and support that other people would like to do that as well and wake people up and give them news and information in the morning. Oh, it's great to hear from you, Rich.
You too, and I just hope that can you share plans that you have for your retirement, or is that something you'd rather keep quiet?
No, I'll tell you something that I want to see more of Alaska, and I have kidded with Charles that what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go to the Outdoor Explorer page and just start in with the top thing and just keep going all around, and I won't do any ice camping. I don't think I'm going to be doing that. But
some of the things we do are pretty, we talk about it. I don't think anybody should do it.
But just to be able to see our beautiful state and to take day trips and ride the railroad. I want to get on the railroad and ride all over the place. There's a lot of projects that I would like to do that I haven't had time to, or just like at 10 o'clock at night, pick up a book and think, I don't need to stop reading until I fall asleep. Just those that kind of flexibility and openness.
You don't have to leave every dinner party at 8 o'clock. Right?
I don't have to leave. Right, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, it's all well-deserved, and we're going to miss you tremendously, but we do wish you well.
Thank you, Rich. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling, Rich. You know, our listeners are very accustomed to your voice on Morning Edition, Pledge Drives, and everything else, but they're probably not too familiar with the other work you do as program director, which is kind of like all the other stuff around keeping the station going and dealing with the public and their needs and their complaints and issues and whatever else. Talk a little bit about what that job entails.
You know, that job has changed over the years from when I first became program director back in 89, which actually something important happened back then when we talk about the kind of programming that we used to have on the station. There was an ad hoc committee of the board of directors that really took to heart why we were here in the first place. We needed to establish an identity that was important to the community, and it was really helped shape programming. So there were ascertainment studies, there were public meetings, there was quite a bit of information and research asking the community why we should be here in the first place. And the overwhelming reason was we need you to be a primary source of news and information. We don't want 24-hour news, but we really need local news. We need Alaska news. We need national news. We need world news. And so that has really shaped over the years the program decisions that have been made. Eleanor Roosevelt, I'm going to paraphrase her because I can't remember exactly, but she said that when you make a decision, have your heart in it, because only 50% of the people are going to be happy with it and the other 50% are not. So what we have tried to do over the years is to gather information from the community, gather information from our audience research, and to craft a program schedule that casts a broad net that will try to appeal to and serve as many people as possible, understanding not everyone is going to be happy.
So it's about choosing that mission or that vision and then following it.
Exactly.
Even though it might not be the highest ratings, but turns out in the end that kind of is really popular.
We are very strong in the community, I will say that. And I think one of the things, too, that has helped out through the years is that there's not a golden book that if you follow this program schedule, everything will be right. So we make changes. We try to include the audience, and so they have a say in what we air. And sometimes it's a mistake. Sometimes it's thought, oh boy, I thought that was going to perform a lot better. It doesn't sound very good, or it doesn't sound good there, so I'm going to move it someplace else. So it really is an exercise in flexibility, adaptability, and humility.
There you go, all of which you're very good at. So Jean is calling from Anchorage. Jean?
Yes, hi. Hi, BD.
Hi, Jean.
I arrived in Anchorage in 1984, and after being a member of the WBUR and WGBH in Boston, I was thrilled to find a public radio station here. And so I've been a loyal listener since then.
Oh, thank you. Those are great stations back there.
Yes, and then I was really pleased when you decided to listen to Bird Note.
Oh, and this is Jean Tam.
And that you were open to listening to that and then including it.
You know what? You had emailed me, and I think you might have added a sample of the program or dropped off a cassette or something like that. And I think I only needed to listen to one or two episodes, and I thought, this is great. We've got, and it's 7 days a week, so it's an audience builder. And we have such a bird population and a bird following up here, too, I'm so grateful that you made that recommendation.
Well, thank you for putting it on. And hope you have many years ahead of you for enjoying Alaska.
I plan to. Thanks, Jean.
And sleep.
And sleep.
Hey, Kathleen, I was wondering if we should play another one of these clips that Dave Waldron found for us.
I'm up for it.
This one is from a program apparently we had in 1984 called City Times.
Oh.
And it's a small chunk of a feature in which the reporter went into the Marx Brothers Cafe to learn about how they make Caesar salad. And it's kind of funny because it shows you that some things about public radio never change. So let's listen to this from 1984.
People have it so often when they come in. Usually our regular customers have it every time. And it's if they see the same show every time, they it's kind of dull. So I try to change it around.
So you're talking about Caesar salad as a total performance, not just to the food
itself.
Well,
sure it is. Well, I think when you're in the restaurant business, you are an actor. Uh-huh. So you do have to act out what you're doing. People enjoy that.
Have you ever figured out how much time it takes you to prepare a Caesar salad?
Well, it depends. If they want me to go pretty fast, I can do about a minute and a half, usually about 3 minutes.
What do you think about when you do a Caesar salad?
Well, what I think about is just making the best possible salad and, you know, and just having fun with the folks out there.
And you're adding a little more...
I just put a little garnier on top of the salad. I always put a little fresh Parmesan. Oh, thanks, Jack. And usually what I do is I have a soup spoon, which I just bring it up and, float it down. Looks like snow coming down into the salad.
There we go.
All finished?
Great. If you want to learn how to make a Caesar the Marx Brothers Cafe way, you might want to enroll in one of their cooking classes. Unfortunately, the next one, starting February 19th, is already booked. But Chef Giacomone promises more. KSKA would like to thank Van Hale, Giacomone, and the staff of the Marx Brothers for allowing us to tape and to subsequently taste this creation, one of the emperors of the salad world, the Caesar. This is Jocelyn Payne for KSKA.
Gosh, I remember Jocelyn.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, folks, that was not a Saturday Night Live sketch.
No.
I mean, we can make fun of ourselves a little bit, right? Oh, so far over the top.
That is so funny. I didn't realize how much Van sounds like David Crosby.
That's true.
You know, he's got a great radio voice. He's still making Caesar salads and Marx Brothers going strong. Boy, bringing in the localism back then and with what we're able to do now is just, it really makes it our radio station, this community's radio station, as opposed to a radio station from someplace else.
Yeah. That was great. What do you think about when you're making a salad?
Yeah.
Making the best salad I can.
A salad. Oh, gosh.
Deep thoughts while making a salad.
Just as a note that Johanna Urich and Steve Heimel came to create the idea of City Times. It was a Saturday news magazine program, and they brought a lot of people in.
Fun.
And it was really a great program. Yep. I think it started out as 2 hours, and then it went to 1 hour. But that was in the early days in the 80s.
Yeah.
That's
hey,
great.
Prentice is on. I think we all know who Prentice is.
Oh, Prentice.
From Line 1.
Yeah. Prentice?
Hello. How you doing?
Hey, great. Prentice.
I just wanted to publicly thank BD for taking a chance on me and somebody who has no idea anything about radio, never been on before. And she was so patient and thoughtful and kind. She would, always start after a show. She would come in and say, "That was such a wonderful program." And then she would say, "Do you have just a few seconds? I could give you a couple little pointers." And then she would gently give me some ideas for how I could improve. So I remember going home and telling my wife, she said, "How was it?" And I said, "Oh, I have a new favorite person in the world." And BD took that over. She's always been so gracious and thoughtful and patient with my my efforts to kind of stumble along. So thank you, BD, for everything. And it's hard to believe that I was just entering seventh grade when you started there.
Oh, for heaven's sake, isn't that something? Well, Prentice, it's been worth it, too. You have done a great job with bringing very important topics of mental health to Line 1, your health connection with Dr. Thad Woodard. And you worked hard and made great improvements. So it's an honor to have you on the air.
Yeah, I remember when you told me you were leaving, I was like, oh, no. What am I going to do?
That can't
How
be
am I going to do this?
Yeah. Thanks, Prentice. And here's someone who sent us an email. And it's a long email. I'll forward this to you, BD. But he says, "Thank you for your decades of dedication to not only Alaska Public Media, but also to us listeners who may not know you, but trust and look forward to our familiar friends behind the mic at KSKA. I wish you the best in retirement and hope to hear you on the air in the future, even if it's only during the membership drives."
Oh, very good. Thank you so much.
Well, we're going to take a break, a very short one. And when we come back, I'm going to share those phone numbers with you so you can talk to Beattie. And we're going to have our new program director, Shelley Wozniak, on the air with us. We're going to segue a little bit from the past to the future, but I know that our listeners are still going to want to say thank you to Beattie. And for myself and Kathleen McCoy, this is Hometown Alaska. Please stay with us.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 8 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. This is Kathleen McCoy, and I'm here with Charles Wolforth. And it's a really special day because it's a bit of a Beattie day for us. Beattie is going to be leaving soon, and while we still have her here, we wanted to just hear a little bit about the early days in this station and, you know, the way the station has developed around the community around the station. But we've also, you know, just the door flew open and Shelley Wozniak jumped in.
That's my entrance right there.
Yes. And so basically, Beattie's kind of passing the baton of FM program director over to Shelley. We'll have Beattie for a few more days. You're going to hear that famous Friday expression again.
Tomorrow and Friday, I'll be on the air.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Shelley, you're just settling in, and you're the new FM program director, and you're coming back, which, you know, when
correct.
I learned, I thought that was really great. Tell us a little bit about what you did while you were here.
Well, when I was here as the original host of AK from Alaska Public Media, back when the newsroom was Alaska Public Media, and we won a couple awards with that show, and then I moved over to audio engineering, quite frankly, because there was more money in it, and I had two kids. So that's what I did.
Yeah.
And, you know, people still talk about AK, and we still have AK on Friday evenings, and we repeat it on Monday afternoons during All Things Considered. So it's such a strong program even now.
It lives. It lives.
Does.
Yeah, yeah. So let's see. We're going to throw out the numbers because
yep.
we know people want to still talk to Beattie, but they may have thoughts and ideas for Shelley. So
right.
go ahead and throw
the
those out.
The station is changing everything. It's changing everything. Always does.
Yeah.
Shelley will be here, and we want to learn about where she's going. And so listeners may have questions about that, as well as saying goodbye to Beattie, not that she's leaving forever, but saying thank you for her service. The local number here is 550-8433, 550-8433. Outside Anchorage, the number is 888-353-5752, and the email address is hometown@alaskapublic.org. I just wanted to ask Shelley to talk a little bit about the way communications are changing.
Sure.
Terrestrial radio, you know, a lot may not be around forever, right?
Right.
Now we're getting our radio electronically. I have a Google Home, and I just tell it, play KSKA, you know, my
right.
old radio I hardly ever use, and then podcasts. And so how do we adapt to that? How do we adapt to that changing world?
Well, I think that's the million-dollar question, really, Charles. Like, how do we localize content in a world where you can get so much right to your phone that you don't even have to come to the tune-in anymore? But the thing that you can get from us, and I think that Beattie's done a wonderful job with, is that local feel, that local touch. Great shows like Outdoor Explorer, great shows like Hometown Alaska, where we're bringing parts of the community to you. And that's all about relevancy, and that's all about keeping the station relevant. And it's funny, I was listening upstairs while I was working, because that's what program directors do all the time.
Always have it on in the background.
Yeah, you have it on in the background, and then if you hear like any seconds of dead air, you are up and out of your seat and running downstairs as fast as you can. But you talked about the tremendous responsibility, Beattie, that this really is. And it is, because our job is to create a vocal reflection of the community back to the community. So I'm terribly interested in bringing the diversity of our community to the radio. I want to engage in the different demographics that we have here. And also just to carry that, you know, somebody asked me what I was talking about, stepping into Beattie's shoes, so to speak. Somebody said, whoa, man, that's like, my friends, they have really strange voices, but no. she said, whoa, man, that's like somebody gave you the key to the Cadillac, you know, and you just hope you don't scratch it. And I said, first of all, it's a Ferrari.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm not even in the driver's seat, the listener is. And if that's one thing that I learned from BD, like, we're more like Siri.
Oh.
Or we're more like the mapping system, you know, that you say, you know, I need to get from here to there, and we're helping navigate that. But the listener is really in the driver's seat, and we're going to be doing listener outreach to try to get some feedback and really try to figure out a way together as a community to navigate that new digital space mm-hmm. that we're moving mm-hmm. into.
I kind of think in a way that BD has been the voice of the station for so long, partly because you simply have been here so long and so consistently. And does that become you, Shelley? Or what happens? I mean, we're scared. It's new. It's
well, are you going to do Yippee It's Friday?
So yeah. That is the biggest question I get asked. And I have been working on my own catchphrase, and I thought, I don't know if I have a catchphrase. It's waking me up in the middle of the night.
Right.
Like, how do I replace? And the thing is you can't. I can't come in and replace BD. BD is unique. She is herself, and she's done a tremendous job bringing the station this far along for 40 years. You know,
I know,
and that's wild. I mean, that's a tremendous gift of continuity that we've been given in this community. So it's a little intimidating to step into that role, but at the same time, BD has been so supportive, and I think has been so wonderful in providing guidance and listening to all my crazy ideas of things that I think that we can do, and really just embracing them and saying, this is why you're here.
You know, something I was thinking of is the timing of this, because I don't know if people really know when is a good time to get off the stage and when to hand things over. And for so many reasons, this is a great time in Alaska Public Media's life, in the community's life, in technology's life, to be able to hand things over to you so your skills and experience and expertise can really take the station into the next stage. And I was thinking about this afternoon. I went on my walk, and we were talking about going to grammar school a little while ago, a couple of days ago. And you said when you were in grammar school, you had, what computers were you using?
Apple IIe.
Yeah. I was diagramming sentences with crayons. And I thought, okay, here is a really good example of where the station has been, but where it obviously needs to go into that new, familiar, accessible kind of technology that you have that I don't. And now is a great time for that to happen.
You know, I do want to say one thing. As much as things change, and they do change, there's something about the intimacy of the voice that doesn't change. And,
exactly.
And that certainly was a hallmark of, you know, waking up and hearing BD and driving to work and trying to wake up and have coffee and hear BD and, okay, it's going to be okay. Here I am at work. I've made it.
Right.
You know, and that hasn't changed. And Shelley, you're talking about sort of adding voices, you know,
correct.
Which is really fun. And even though the background changes or the technology changes, that doesn't change.
Well, I think when BD was talking earlier in the program, she hit the nail on the head. We have the responsibility that we have, and I think that we both feel. I was really happy. My first 3 days on, I worked 11 hours, 11 hours, then 14 hours because because
yeah.
You have to be here like that. And BD came in one morning, and I was here before her.
You wow. beat Beattie.
And I beat her in, and she came in the studio, and she said, all right.
You pass.
All right. And because the weather was kind of bad, I wanted to make sure that we knew what was going on with the schools. That is the responsibility we have. And that came home to me when I worked in commercial radio up in Fairbanks. I was on the air during Columbine, and I was on the air during 9/11. And the role that community radio, that public radio in particular has to help keep the community safe, to help provide educational opportunities, to help provide a space for voices to be heard is a tremendous responsibility that I take very seriously. And I am so lucky to be working with such a wonderful mentor who will stay on as my mentor even after she leaves, because I begged her.
No calls at 4 a.m. though.
Oh, there may be some calls at
no
4
promises.
A.m.
Yeah, we have your phone number, Judy. It's Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth. My co-host is Kathleen McCoy. And we're talking about our own radio station here with B.D. Trentina, who is retiring after 39 years, and Shelley Wozniak, who's taking on those reins. And we welcome your calls if you have questions about the future of this station or about its past. Call 550-8433, 550-8433. If you're outside Anchorage, there's a toll-free number, 888-353-5752. And the email address is hometown@alaskapublic.org. And here is an email with an idea from Patrick. Maybe during a pledge drive, you could auction off Beattie's voice on a member's answering machine or voicemail, a la Carl Castle on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
That is a fantastic idea.
He says, best
idea.
To Beattie in retirement. And I would love that. I think, you know, you could say, this is Beattie Trentina welcoming you to Charles Wolforth's voicemail or something
sure.
like that.
Sure. That is a great idea.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Well, one of the things, I mean, it brings up these pledge drives where people have heard you for so many years. And I don't think listeners know the level of intensity that occurs around here during that, especially with you, Beattie, because I've seen you here. Of course, you're here early, but then you're also here late. You're here all the time. It seems like you live here during the pledge drives.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Well,
and that hasn't changed over the years.
It hasn't changed over the years. Our approach has changed, and we have a terrific development department, and especially Kristen Hall, who is the director of community engagement. And it really is a team effort with Kristen, with Connie, with Bork, with Dave, with Shelley, with Ron, and everyone, that we prepare for the drive about 2 months out. And it pretty much is every day to make sure that all the pieces are in place so when the drive begins, it sounds seamless. And the research and the work that goes into the messaging and the timing. And we have heard from people saying, you know, don't cut out those 8 minutes of Morning Edition every 20 minutes, because that's why I'm contributing. That's why I want to listen to the station. So we try to keep those to a minimum. We try to do a lot of pre-recorded messaging 24/7 for about 21 days to try to make it as manageable as we can, realizing that those membership drives are the best way for us to get new members and get into a bigger bank of regular contributors.
That community connection.
That's it.
And the fact that we are solid because we're supported by people listening.
Exactly.
Shelley, how does that work in the future when some of those connections aren't the same because people aren't just sitting listening to the radio. They're maybe picking up a podcast here, or picking up another piece of content there. Have we figured that out yet?
Well, Charles.
Hey, it's only day five, right?
Day five, day six. That's something I'm definitely focused on. I'm a passionate listener of audio content. I love audio content. I have since I was a little kid. I remember my mom had this workout record. It was a 45, and it was a song that said, "Give that chicken fat back to the chicken and don't be chicken again." Do you remember this one?
I don't.
And it was a calisthenics workout tape, like a record.
I wish we had a little bit of that to play.
Oh, it was awesome. And my sister and I would do this little exercise, and then we would listen to Disney's Robin Hood on 45 on our little record player and follow along in the book. So I was listening to podcasts before podcasts were cool, when they were records. So I love that, but it's still an opportunity to I look at it as the digital space right now as an opportunity to experiment with new voices. So say something, you know, our on-air time is really precious. We have All Things Considered, Terry Gross's Fresh Air, Morning Edition. We have really wonderful national programs. We have great local programs like this. So you have some maybe young people come in or somebody who doesn't have a lot of radio experience. They have an opportunity to experiment in this space. We can help them get their voice out there. And if it becomes fine-tuned, we can move that product to air if there's a space to do that. So to me, the digital space right now is just another opportunity to engage the community in an even bigger way. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense.
Absolutely.
And I'm very loyal. I'm a big podcast listener too, and it is very nice to be able to get it when I can consume it.
Sure.
So that makes me loyal, that it's now I don't have to be sitting in front of the screen or, you know, in my car listening. You know, I can do it when I'm walking in the hills with my dog. I could be listening to my favorite. That makes me very loyal, and I support a lot of national programming that comes through that way. So I do think that's another way to build loyalty. It's just a different way.
Right.
And convenience and when you want it.
Right. And I think that we also have an opportunity to, through public radio, expose people to programs that they may eventually want to download as a podcast, new national programs and things like that. But for me, the digital space right now just seems like a big playground. Mm-hmm. And I'm really interested in inviting everybody to come play in it.
Yeah. voices are rich. They really are rich and authentic. And that's what I've loved about KSKA, being able to hear the sounds of Anchorage and the people of Anchorage. I had a question for Beattie. Beattie, I know Shelley was talking about big news moments when you're on the air, and I'm sure that you have had them. Are there any that you want to tell us about, or any on-air moment that was like, phew, I survived that? Or,
boy, there have been. Certainly, Shelley, you have talked about the September 11th attack was unreal. And unreal in so many different ways. And I think we were all kind of collecting and grabbing onto each other to try to make sense out of what we were seeing and hearing. That is something that is very strong in my mind. The Exxon Valdez oil spill was another one of those, what? What happened? And it kept going on.
And public radio was really the heart of Alaska.
Absolutely.
Constant, on the air constantly during that time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I remember another early morning one when Sarah Palin was running, named as the vice president, and that happened very early in the mm-hmm. morning. I remember that. That was a surprise.
Right.
Were you on then?
No, as a matter of fact, I was down in California, so there was someone,
you missed
maybe
that one.
Ed Ratliff. I bet Ed Ratliff
everyone
was
everyone remembers
the air.
Where they were at that moment, right?
Exactly.
Here's a comment from Alex Hills, who is our founding general manager, and we had a wonderful interview with you and Alex was aired recently. And he makes a really good point. He says, it's fascinating that Beattie seldom, parentheses, never says her name on the air. Many people know her voice, but how many know her name, at least until today? And this is something that I think is very true for everybody who knows Beattie, is there's no ego there. This is a person who is completely humble, selfless, gives to others, but never draws attention to herself. And I've just seen that so many times over the years.
Right. And I think I was actually listening to that. Beattie and I actually had a conversation about this very thing, because it's in the old school radio. It was called taking a credit. Right. So like when you hear I'm Robert Siegel, I'm whoever, they're taking a credit. And we were talking about that. I said, Beattie doesn't ever have to say her name because everybody knows who she is.
That's true. Yeah. That's
but
true.
But if nobody knows who you are and you're in the middle of the transition, you want to drop your name. So you will hear my name.
Absolutely. Well,
Alex told
Absolutely.
Me a fantastic story about, and I know I'm not going to let Beattie tell it because I'm afraid that she might not tell it exactly right the way Alex told it
okay.
to me. But you were introducing David Sedaris at the Performing
yes.
Arts Center, came out in front of this curtain. Nobody knew who you were. And then you said your name and the place went crazy because, mm-hmm. wow, that's Beattie Trentina.
Right.
And then you turned around to see if somebody was behind you who was like famous that they were clapping for.
Right.
I love that story.
That's great.
You were surprised you didn't know how many people out there love you.
I didn't know how many people were out there because it was just like a dark studio. And
yeah.
then there was all of this cheering and yelling. And I thought, somebody just walked on the stage, so I turned around.
Yeah.
But it really is quite humbling, and I like the perspective that gives me, that I'm very comfortable not being the most important person in the room. And I think that with the kind of something else that I do that I've been doing quite a long time is volunteering at Providence Hospital in the newborn intensive care unit. There is perspective as far as priority right there. And I bring that with me, I think, with, okay, I am part of a team, I'm part of a support.
Right.
But, that brings me back to a real centered foundation.
Yeah. We've got about 10 minutes left on Hometown Alaska.
Oh,
Beattie
this is
Trentina.
Going by so fast.
is our guest, as well as Shelley Wozniak, the new program director. My co-host is Kathleen McCoy. My name is Charles Woolforth. Just a few minutes for you to get on the air with us at 550-8433, 550-8433. Shelley, when you think about it, what's the hardest part of filling BD's shoes? I mean, there's a lot of things that are not going to be easy. Have you, or maybe not the hardest part, but a hard part that you would highlight?
So I don't like to take pauses, I guess, on radio. You don't want to do that. But there's something I want to be thoughtful about. To me, it's not a hard part as much as it is an opportunity to learn. And so, like BD said, we have such a strong team here. And the thing that I think about when I think about public radio is you're never alone. We spend so much of our time, especially in the morning, we're alone. We're, quote unquote, alone in a little box talking into a microphone, right? But you're never alone. There's this tremendous connection that you have. And to be honest, I applied for this position because of I so admired BD when I worked here. And I saw the position posted, and I wasn't planning on doing anything like this. And I thought I could maybe be of use to the community, and I could bring my skill set to bear on it. And I wanted to make sure that that BD's legacy was being handled in a way I felt was appropriate.
Nice.
Well, gosh, I don't know. I'm going to bounce it back to you.
How do you follow up on that one?
Yeah. That's very, you know.
Well, I think there's a culture here at this station, and BD has been the culture bearer who's created that. And it's a culture, I think, of kindness and of service.
Right.
And I think all of us want to fulfill that. And you know, that's I think, one of the key elements of leadership is sort of what is the vision? What is the culture that we're going to be part of, and I think that pervades this place. And if that sounds a little self-serving, it's really is true. I mean, that's what I see in this building is people wanting to serve the community.
Right, and I think that what I hope I can do that BD has done very well is there's a generosity of spirit that I struggle with sometimes. That just working with BD this last month has. It's been extraordinary to witness. People's shoulders relax when she's around.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope someday people view me that way.
I'm so pleased with you being here, Shelley, with our team of FM, with our partners in television and in news and in development and engineering. It's a great place for Alaska Public Media to be in. And I think it's just perfect that you're going to continue and continue in a way that I can't and have things bloom and blossom.
You know, I just want to say what comes to my mind is what's been planted here is something very steadfast. And so that we pay tribute to you, BD, for that, because it's been well-steered, very well-steered.
Yes.
And reliable and steadfast. And so that won't rock when we move to Shelley.
Exactly.
Shelley's already here. And you know, new things will happen.
You
can't stop change, right? We know that. So you deserve to rest, BD. You deserve to rest. And Shelley, you deserve to sweat. You're going to start to sweat.
You're going to be great.
It's already happening.
Yeah. So one of the things that has come out of the station over the years is a production of kind of amazing radio people who have gone on to great things. And you know, I remember when I was the 2 years I worked here when I was a kid, Corey Flintoff was kind of getting his start. And now he's sort of been at National Public Radio forever. I remember we had a party for him to leave.
Yes.
And he said, well, from what I hear, you just show up there and you get a job a week later.
Yeah, I remember.
A week later, he was on the air.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Well, Peter Kenyon, of course.
Peter Kenyon, Elizabeth Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
There have been so many. And Corey was the Moscow bureau chief.
Mm-hmm. A long time.
And he retired, I think it was last year. Peter Kenyon is just, I have so much admiration and I worry about.
I know he's always in the most dangerous part of the world.
Exactly.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. And talk about being able to filter through reporting that you know is accurate, you know is measured, you know is exactly the kind of journalism that we need to have day in and day out. Peter certainly is an example of that. And so are the people upstairs in our newsroom.
Don't you think it's a credit to this station and to this Alaska Public Radio Network that we produce these world-scale people pretty consistently? It's kind of like our cross-country skiers, right?
Well, when you think about
Judy, Radio Olympians,
there
right?
We go.
When you think about the newsroom, Libby Casey's at the Washington Post, Rebecca Shear is at WAMU, Gabriel Spitzer and Ashley Gross are at CanX. I don't remember the call letters, but it's in Puget Sound. So,
but you know something else is you can hardly go a day without listening to Morning Edition, All Things Considered, the Takeaway Weekend Edition, without hearing Zachariah Hughes, Lori Townsend, Annie Feit, Rebecca, Rachel Waldholtz. I mean, our newsroom up there is national as well. So they don't have a bureau in Washington, D.C. or in Russia, but the national people are coming to us for the Alaska reporting, and I think that is tremendous.
Right. Zachariah was just on The World, and Emily was just on NPR with a story about Keegan Randall.
Emily Russell, that's right. That's right.
And this is all happening because we have a very healthy station here.
Yeah.
Which is
because
partly
of you.
because of the listeners supporting it, but also because it's a two-way street.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, the community demands it, and they deserve it. And so it's our obligation, it's our responsibility to provide that service.
Yeah. So, BD, you've got a couple of days left.
Yes.
Jerry called and said he wanted to hear Yippee, It's Friday one last time, but for that he has to wait until Friday.
You have to wait until Friday. So I'll be saying it on
Friday at what time?
At 9.
Friday at 9. You can hear. Yeah, hopefully BD doesn't get a terrible cold between now and then, because we'll be looking forward to hearing that.
I need a button on my array in the mornings on Friday, just you saying
Yeah. No, you're going to have your own. You got 1 week to come up with your own tagline, Shelley.
I was trying a lot of different things, and they all fell pretty flat.
Has to come naturally,
I
right?
know. Right. I hope it'll just happen one day.
Yeah.
It will. It will. We have faith, Shelley. We
thank
have faith.
You.
Absolutely. So, are there any programming changes planned? I mean, are we sort of?
So yeah, I guess where I'm headed is listener feedback right now. It's important to do, I think, some focus groups and some surveying. That was something that BD was thinking about doing anyway, and I'm just going to take that on. And it's all about the listener. And that's how BD's run the station for the last 40 years, and that's how I intend to run the station as long as it's in my hands.
Right. Well, and we just have 30 seconds left, so I just want to say thank you once again from me. I mean, for me, it's been a quite a journey and a wonderful one, and I've enjoyed working with you the entire
thank
time.
Thank you, Charles.
I can't think of a kinder person that I've ever known.
Thank you.
And ditto from over here,
BD,
because my experience is not as long as Charles's and doesn't go back to high school by any means, but you were so helpful and as always have been helpful to me here on Hometown Alaska. So thank you so much, and we are going to miss you, but you're still with us.
You're still going to be around.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Thanks to my co-host, Kathleen McCoy.
Yes, everyone. Thank you.
And to Dave Waldron in the booth, BD Trantina,
and
Shelley Wozniak on the air with us. And come back next week for Hometown Alaska.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.